Mouth of the Wolf, Eyes of the Lamb. Written by Softer Sin. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Call of Duty. Rating explicit. Relationship Soap Ghost. Also tagged for Plot What Plot, Porn Without Plot, Alternate Universe, Non-Military, Historical, Vague Time Period, Alternate Universe, Gods and Goddesses, Priest, Ghost, Dom, Ghost, Virgin, Soap, Sub, Soap, Touch-Starved Soap. Soap has religious trauma. Implied or referenced child abuse. Past child abuse. Implied or referenced torture. Past torture. Internalized homophobia. Virginity. Loss of virginity. First time. Hand jobs. Sounding. Chastity device. Blowjobs. Come play, come eating, and enthusiastic consent. This podfic was created for Potaween 2025. Some part of Johnny knew it'd only been a matter of time. When the crops started withering and the stores grew low, when disease and famine befell their village, warning rang in the beat of his heart. He's kept his head down, tried to fight fate, but it doesn't take long for the people to fall upon the church, begging their priest to deliver them from this evil. Father Simon served the ghostly God for as long as Johnny's been alive. He's a pillar of faith, their leader in all the ways that matter. It's his light that carries them through the darkness, his hands that bear the fruit of their offerings, and his tongue that speaks with his voice. And when he proceeds over them and calls for a sacrifice, one greater than any in living memory, to atone for their slight against he who watches, the people listen and believe. Fathers clutch their daughters, mothers cling to their sons, but it's Johnny whose blood freezes in his veins when Father Simon gravely calls upon a virgin to be their salvation. Johnny, who desperately reaches out when his intended steps forward. Johnny, whose voice sticks in his throat when he sees the all too vindictive look in her eye as she suggests his name. Hundreds of eyes turn on him, faces he's known since birth, twisted in relief at his imminent demise. And some part of him always knew it'd only been a matter of time. His hand falls back to his side. His heartbeat drowns out Ada's voice as she serves him up for slaughter, lamenting her own spoiled virtue while promising his own, swearing that in all their years together, despite being far past their majority, he's never touched her, never asked for her touch in return. His face burns with humiliation, and he swallows heavily as the whole village turns on him. The people closest stumble away, like just being near him will leave them corrupted, will make Father Simon discard his name to consider them instead. He looks around, searching in vain for an objection, for someone to speak for him, but the people have grown desperate and hungry, longing for anyone else to shoulder their blame.
Is this true?
Johnny flinches and looks up at Father Simon atop the church steps, imposing, his shadow eclipsing all as he stands over them. The great stained glass eye of the ghostly god ever watchful above him.
Are you unspoiled?
He asks, his mouth hidden behind his half veil, always fixed in place should he wish to speak through mortal tongue. And how can he fight it, when it's his own failure that allowed him to cultivate it? Any defense he could muster, any lie he could produce, it would shatter the moment it passed his lips. Because Father Simon knows the truth. He can't deny it, not when confession has fallen from his own lips in the chapel, the desperate ramblings of a man betrayed by his own body. He still doesn't know what he hoped for in letting the words spill from his tongue. Shame and fear begging for someone to understand, never wanting, never feeling the all-consuming need Ada so adamantly begged him to soothe. Father Simon hadn't condemned him. He'd laid his hand on his shoulder and told him that these things took time, no matter his age. Some bloomed later in life than others. It was simply the will of nature that some may not bloom at all. But his assurances fell on unworthy ears, and Johnny's gratitude was ash on his tongue. For how was he to explain that he only ever feels something close to desire when he's on his knees, taking his weekly blessing from the very man he begged forgiveness from? That only when his thumb, coated in honey and mead, pressed heavily on his tongue, did he feel a warmth, a stirring. When deep, dark eyes looked into his own and see him. He was a fool to think only Father Simon heard his cries, that words left unspoken meant words left unheard. He saw all, heard all. Maybe if Ada hadn't volunteered him, he would have instructed the father to choose him anyway, so deep is his sin. With his shadow cast over them all, his eyes bearing the weight of truth, what else can Johnny say but, yes. Men he grew up with, men he looked up to, rush him, and Johnny remains far from his body as their harsh hands grip him and take him before the church. He catches Father Simon's eye as they march him forward, and something unreadable calls out to him. It's not the desperation or greed reflected in the villagers around them. It's something darker. Intent. He doesn't know what to make of it, and he latches onto it, a desperate distraction as he's stripped bare, bathed, and laid in ropes. Markings he's only ever seen staining wool are painted on his skin, blood from a lamb just as lost and betrayed as him. Daisies and hyssop sprigs are twined into his hair. Berry wine stains his tongue, and mixed with the blood lining his chin, it's never tasted more like the sting of poison.
You're doing a good thing, John.
Asava, an old friend who's never managed to hide his jealousy, tells him as he ties off the final braid. Something holy.
Aye, Johnny says flatly, staring ahead at nothing. Then why didn't you volunteer?
Asava averts his eyes. They bring him into the bowels of the church, and his pride refuses to let him tremble as they put him to his knees and flee. Their so-called devotion, overcome by fear of the ghostly god laying his many eyes upon them. Until only he and Father Simon remain.
Johnny's breath is loud in the silence of the church, hitching and shallow. The air is frigid, colder than he's ever felt, the flaming sconces and candles burning pure ice, biting his skin as if the very walls are being punished with heat's absence. What little warmth the lamb's blood provided is stolen away, sunken into the stones beneath his knees, and his breath stills. How long will it be before his own joins it? The heavy doors fall shut behind them, the thick metal locks scraping against the wood, and his heart pounds a heavy tattoo in his chest. No one told me what prayers to recite, Johnny forces out, trying to summon the well of anger that usually burns within him when he enters the church. Suppose they're not used to trussing up something that can talk back. Father Simon says nothing, his footsteps echoing out on the stone, growing louder as he approaches. I can bah for ya if that'd make it more familiar, he spits, some remnant of himself flaring as he strains his arms, struggling in vain against the ropes binding his wrists. He follows the hem of the father's robe as he circles him, his keen eyes heavy as they study the sigils on Johnny's skin, until he finally comes to a stop behind him. He's not even to see his death. Johnny curses himself, as only now does grief come at being denied a final look into Father Simon's eyes. Even now, you can't help but chase sin. He lets his eyes fall shut and waits for the kiss of steel along his throat, for his blood to join the sigils on his skin, and flinches when, instead, Father Simon's hand ghosts down the length of his spine, shuddering under his touch. His breath leaves him in a rush, the sound too loud in the rigid silence. He takes it for a final comfort, a soothing caress to hush the bleeding lamb, and his pitiful attempts at anger are thoroughly snuffed out. He shamefully presses into the touch and waits, still, only to slump forward when his hands are unbound. Johnny barely catches himself, heart racing as the ropes lacing his ankles fall away as well. Warmth then shrouds him, and he blinks in confusion, bringing a hand up to the fur-lined outer robe laid over his shoulders. He tugs it tight around him, desperate for its warmth, and buries his nose in the collar, inhaling honey and spice.
What does a god want?
Father Simon asks mildly, breaking the oppressive silence, and goosebumps line Johnny's skin. Did the lamb get its own private sermon before it was bled, too? Johnny tilts his head, not daring to look up, as Father Simon slowly rounds him and almost flinches again when he bends to take Johnny's hand in his. They're rougher than he thought they'd be. Calluses he wouldn't expect from a holy man lining his skin, and they almost eclipse Johnny's as he lifts him to his feet. Johnny's hand tingles as Father Simon turns it over in his own, rubbing his thumbs over the bruises on his wrist. The building ache soothes beneath his touch, and Johnny's stomach tightens as his sleeve falls back. Encircling Father Simon's wrists are ragged scars, like bindings had been forced too tight around them, and left to repeatedly cut into his skin, just like the bruises Father Simon's caressing would have grown into. Sacrifice, Johnny mutters, obedient in the face of the soft touch. He knows his part in all this, even if Father Simon's changing the steps. Father Simon lets out a low, contemplative hum.
Perhaps. But what does a god need?
Johnny frowns and slowly drags his eyes away from their hands to meet his gaze, mutely shaking his head. Wants, needs, he's never been taught a difference, especially when it comes to the ghostly god. He is absolute. What use does he have of something as human as need? Father Simon doesn't look disappointed in his lack of answer, his lack of faith. Not the way his mother always did when he stumbled over prayers as a child, mixing up the solstices, which offerings were to be made and which were to be avoided at all costs. Instead, there's slight excitement in his eyes, like Johnny's silence is what he hoped for.
Fealty, Johnny, he answers. A god is nothing without loyalty, without love and devotion.
Johnny's lip curls, and he all but rips his hands away, those old sparks of rage finally catching light. Love, love for your precious god is why I'm here, he sneers. Blind love for a being greater than them, and love refused to a boy who never understood why it came with birch-stricken hands for a simple mistake. Father Simon sighs heavily at his clear disgust. But it isn't tinged with disappointment the way he expects, the way he's used to.
Love through fear? That's no true love. It's curdled and corrosive. It eats away at the very soul, and no true god wants it.
What? The first thing Johnny ever learned about the many-eyed god was to fear his wrath, that for every grape he snuck from the kitchen, a piece of himself would be consumed in return. When he grew and questioned his reach, questioned his power, he was warned to fear his reproach. When he questioned why the offerings he wished to give, his art and his creations that came from a part of himself otherwise untouched were so firmly rejected by the village elders, discarded for their apparent worthlessness. It didn't matter the pride he found in them, in himself, for following Father Simon's teachings and offering up his very heart. They wouldn't sustain his being. They didn't come from blood, from suffering, from tears. They weren't a sacrifice. Johnny frowns, shaking his head slightly in confusion.
But the famine, the crops, are due to farmers' neglect and deflected blame,
Father Simon says dismissively, a distant anger in his voice, but none of it reaches him as he cups his cheek. Johnny's breath stutters as he looks down at the gentle touch. Then back up.
People don't come to the church to offer uncoerced worship anymore. They come in fear of punishment. They do not love anymore. And why should a god aid those who do not love him? He has not abandoned you, Johnny, and neither have I,
he promises. And for a moment, Johnny lets hope kindle inside him.
I want to worship in the old ways, not to appease his wrath, but to ask forgiveness for letting his flock lose sight of the true path.
The sparks of hope die, doused by frigid shame. Johnny flushes and drags his eyes away to the floor, shying away from Father Simon's touch. Unworthy, tainted.
But I can't. I'm broken, Father.
What else explains the way his body curdles when Ada's hands dared drift too low? When the other boys howled and whistled when Sarah fell in the lake, her white dress turned sheer and clinging to her skin, and he just hoped she wasn't too cold. He can't bring himself to give his own intended what she needs. How can his crooked flesh be enough for a god? Why does he have to let Father Simon, the one person who looks upon him without disdain, down too? Father Simon takes his chin in his hand, bringing him back up to look at him, and Johnny's breath hitches. A gentleness lights his eyes, almost soft enough to offset the bottomless heat that spreads to him.
Fealty through love, Johnny, he reminds him. Love cannot be forced. How can one expect to take that which isn't freely given?
I did. He stumbles, but for once, under watchful eyes, he can't bring himself to lie.
Does her voice make your heart race? Does her breath fill your breast?
He pushes, caressing his hand over Johnny's heart, and a shiver that has nothing to do with fear racks his body.
Does the thought of her wake you, starved during the night? Does it send you blindly to her so the very sight may nourish you?
He croons, hand drifting lower, following the line of Johnny's hair, and he mutely shakes his head, tongue heavy in his mouth. It's never been Ada who leaves him unfulfilled. Leaves him heard and seen in a world, leaving him further and further behind. Father Simon steps closer, his veiled lips almost brushing Johnny's ear.
Does her touch make your body sing?
It's never been her soft curves or seductive voice that entices him, luring him under the veil of passion with the merest brush of her hand, leaving him crawling for more with a single look. Father Simon's hand slides down his front, and Johnny gasps as his thumb brushes over the root of his hardening cock, the catch of his calloused skin a shock to Johnny's untouched skin. It's always been.
Does mine?
Father Simon breathes.
Yes,
he moans, hips bucking up into his touch, and he whines when it's taken away. Admittance of his sin sends guilt writhing through his heart, and he almost falls to his knees in repentance.
I'm sorry, Father. I'm so sorry. I never meant for this, for my deviance to reach you, to taint you.
Shh, he hushes gently.
You've done nothing wrong, Johnny. I'm so proud of you.
Johnny's eyes flutter open, unsure when they fell shut to begin with.
Proud? Yes. In spite of our ways, in spite of our laws, you have followed divinity and you love.
He professes. Such sincerity dripping from his words that even Johnny can't deny them.
This place is hell on earth, Johnny,
he declares gravely, taking Johnny's face in his hands.
But will you grant the two of us absolution?
Johnny looks into the eyes of his God and swears,
yes.
Those eyes darken, and Father Simon leans forward to press a veiled kiss against his forehead, and his breath shudders out of him at the benediction.
Thank you.
Johnny swallows a desperate noise as Father Simon's hands drift down his front again, arching with the wild rise and fall of his chest. For all he's hidden it from prying eyes, he still has pride in his body, labored to make it strong. And as Father Simon's hands curve with the swell of his pecs, that pride begs to show off. He drops his shoulders back, pushing his chest into his touch, and tilts his chin up to elongate the line of his torso. Father Simon cocks his head at the brazen display, but Johnny smirks. He knows he isn't imagining the heat sparking in his gaze.
Vanity,
he tuts, but it certainly isn't disapproving. He tangles his fingers in the thick whorls of his chest hair, thumbs over his nipples, squeezing and playing with his flesh like they're a pair of tits. Johnny's smirk slips, a flash of heat rushing through him, and his hips flex forward. He almost whines as Father Simon gropes his pecs, pressing them together just to watch them bounce when he drops them again. His sure fingertips trace his abs, the thickening hatch of his hair and the muscles jump beneath them, following the sigils on his skin like they're a path painted just for him, just to skirt his aching need and bracket his hips. Johnny bites back a gasp as Father Simon uses the grip to pull him forward, the movement enough to threaten his clothes with the glistening head of Johnny's cock, already drooling at just the promise of touch. Touch he's always otherwise shuddered away from. One hand falls away, hovering above him and past the scars. It's like the blood-soaked brush strokes continue on Father Simon's skin. The same sacrificial symbols and ancient markers mirrored and disappearing beneath his sleeve. His eyes are dark, a red so deep it's almost black, old and set beneath his skin. He makes a ring with his forefinger and thumb, and Johnny shifts as it kisses the head of his cock, his prick twitching at the scant touch. His eyes lock on it, breath quickening with anticipation. Out of the corner of his eye, he just manages to catch Father Simon look upon his face with an amused huff before it descends. There's an almost audible pop as the tight ring of his fingers squeezes over his cockhead, and Johnny throws his head back with a strangled moan. Fuck! It drags down his cock, smearing pre-cum down his shaft, and Father Simon's other hand as it cups the base, holding him firm and upright to meet it. Johnny bucks wildly as Father Simon just as slowly draws it back up, his breath coming short. It catches on the ridge of his crown, and his whole body jolts as it snaps over it just to push back down. Father Simon's chuckle is warm in his ear, and Johnny can almost convince himself he feels the brush of air on his skin. The touch, so simple it could hardly be called a tease, and yet he's already falling apart. It's never like this when he's done it, when he's closed his hand shamefully around himself, when he fought to keep his mind clear in fear of the visions it would conjure should he surrender. He unconsciously sways forward, but quickly stills, his ragged breath stirring Father Simon's shirt. He wants to touch, craves the knowledge of how Father Simon's body feels beneath his clothing. But the father is a private man. He values his privacy, his space. The ring of his fingers tightens, twisting as it works his cock, and Johnny can't stop his head from dropping onto his collarbone any more than he can help his hips from thrusting into it. His cock throbs, tears pricking his eyes, and his voice crackles as he gasps out, "Father!"
"That's it, my lamb,"
he coos, and Johnny almost whimpers as his hand leaves the root of his cock to thread through the back of his head, tucking him firmly into his chest.
"Feel it."
"More," he begs, sinking into him as the air grows thick with Father Simon's approval, his hand closing fully around his cock. It's so big. The calluses he felt even rougher against his soft skin, and he tilts his head down, consumed by the need to watch. The wet schlick of skin on skin echoes as his palm covers his cockhead, grinding over the slit in a way he's never thought to, gathering pre-cum to ease his strokes. It makes his ears burn, heat spreading down his neck to his chest, and he shrugs off Father Simon's heavy robe, bearing the bloody sigils painted on his skin to the walls of the church.
There's a lad,"
Father Simon praises, plucking the blooms from his hair, shedding him of innocence with every curl of his wrist.
"My hand feel that good?"
Johnny bites his inner cheek, jerkily nodding as he continues to clutch at Father Simon's neck, mindful enough not to touch his veil. He scrambles for his collar, for some kind of stability as his hand speeds up, a sure, practiced motion, slicking his prick with his dribbling pre-cum.
"Do not stifle yourself,"
Father Simon chides as he whines, hips jerking as his other hand drops between his legs to cup his balls, massaging them in his hot palm.
Offer him sounds never heard, words never spoken. Let him hear the symphony of your pleasure.
He shakily spreads his legs, his knees weak as Father Simon follows the seam of his sack back, pressing his fingers into the soft skin behind his balls, into something that shoots through Johnny's blood like lightning.
I offer them to you too.
Father Simon's eyes crinkle like a smile, twisting his palm over the head of Johnny's cock, and it rings a piercing cry from him.
And I receive them gladly. You remember your prayers, Johnny?
What?
Johnny pants. His brain is scrambled, Father Simon's hands reducing him to a shuddering mess. And he expects him to remember prayers now?
Don't tell me my teachings went unheard.
He digs, and a different kind of heat fills him at the near teasing of his voice. He pants against Father Simon's chest, his shirt dampening beneath his mouth, and he runs his tongue over his dry lips.
And shepherds we shall be,
Johnny starts tentatively, and is rewarded with his hand stroking him faster.
For thee, my lord, for thee, power hath descended forth from thy hand.
Father Simon presses into that spot again, and his voice dies, fingers trembling around his collar.
Continue,
he prompts, a smug lilt twisting his magnanimous tone.
So that our feet may swiftly carry out thy command.
He stumbles and feels the heat building, sweat beading on his skin, his prick throbbing in Father Simon's grip.
And we will flow a river forth to thee, and teeming with souls shall it ever be.
The obscenity of reciting old prayers with his cock dripping onto sacred ground, the bastion of their faith fucking him with his fist, and the greed of a whore.
For the all-holy ghost sees all, hears all, it is all.
He barely gets out before his knees almost buckle.
Stop, stop, you have to stop.
Father Simon's pace doesn't falter.
Why?
I'm gonna come.
He gasps, an apology and a warning in one. It's barreling towards him and he can't stop it, doesn't want to.
I can't. I'm gonna come.
Father Simon's eyes darken and he clutches him closer, grip tightening around his cock.
Good,
he growls.
Sing for me, Johnny. Pray for me.
Ghost!
Johnny screams, scrambling for Father Simon's arms, nails digging in like claws as he sobs with every breath.
Fuck, 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 ah!
It doesn't wash over him so much as it crashes into him, wrenching him off his feet and pulling him apart in the swell, light and heat spilling from his seams as a pure beacon for the stars.
Please don't stop. Please, ghost.
Good boy, Johnny.
Father Simon's voice reaches him from far away in a near snarl. As if he's sharing his blinding pleasure, his relentless hand milking his cock for every last drop of cum. Johnny sobs as the light slowly fades, leaving tingling warmth in its wake, and he collapses in Father Simon's arms, whimpers falling unbidden from his lips as he releases his aching cock. Father Simon guides his weak legs down until he's splayed at his feet, his softening prick struggling to drip the final beads of his spend onto the stone. He slumps into him, his tear-stained cheek pressed up against his hip as he heaves for breath. and Father Simon doesn't even sway with his weight, standing strong and firm. His eyes close with Father Simon's pleased, proud hum, his fingers carding through his hair, and Johnny settles deeper into him. He basks in it, the looseness of his limbs and the large hand on his head petting through his hair. He feels so small like this, still dizzy with pleasure and surrounded by Father Simon, protected in the cast of his shadow. A hand drifts beneath his chin, guiding his limp head up, and his heart stutters as that same hand goes behind the father's head, uncinching his veil from its place around his mouth. The fabric begins to fall, and Johnny flinches, eyes snapping shut without even thinking. Smooth laughter meets his ears, clear without the veil there to muffle it.
"You are sweet," Father Simon croons,
and his breath catches as his thumb drifts across his eyelid.
"But I think you'll want to witness this."
Johnny swallows heavily. In all his years of memory, Father Simon has presided over them, has been the voice of the ghostly god, and never once has he bared his face to any, has kept ghost's mouth hidden from unworthy eyes. Johnny slowly lets his eyes flutter open, facing into Father Simon's thigh so all he can see is fabric, and glances down to his arms. At the sigils he now knows also paint Father Simon's skin. He touches his forearm, drifting his fingers over the dried blood. They've both given themselves to he who watches. He probably claimed ownership of them the moment the brush left their skin, his mark left on them both. Are they not then the same in his eyes? Johnny takes a deep breath, hesitating. For whose benefit, he doesn't even know. To brace himself? To give Father Simon the chance to reconsider? He digs his chin into Father Simon's thigh in a final warning and slowly cracks his eyes open, just for them to blow wide in awe.
"You're beautiful,"
he whispers, and it's so lacking. Pittance in the face of artistry, but it's all his feeble mind can conjure. Scars beset Father Simon's face, the way people carry freckles, some as deliberate as the sigils painting their skin, others jagged and laid with violence. A loop of them curl around his throat, thick and harsh, matching the bind scars on his wrists. And they still match, the darkened sigils creeping up his neck and along his jaw. But in the face of such age and dedication, Johnny's feel like that of a child, clumsy in mimicry.
"And you're sweet,"
Father Simon repeats, the wicked curve of his mouth bared to the stained glass of the church. He brings his soiled hand to his face, and Johnny's hips stutter, desperately humping the air as his wide tongue swipes through the mess of his hand, curling back into his mouth to swallow with a pleased hum.
"Inside and out."
"Oh, gods, save us,"
Johnny prays. Johnny's eyes remain heavy on him as he sucks his fingers into his mouth, cheeks hollowing and throat bobbing as he swallows around them, savoring the taste of his spend, and Johnny fights not to drag his reawakening cock along the stones like a mutt. Clean and spit-shiny, Father Simon drops his hand to his belt, opening it in a single smooth movement. His smirk grows as he leaves it to hang, framing the prominent bulge in his pants in a far too deliberate tease for a priest. His thumb hooks in his drawers, and Johnny's breath hitches at the tease of the thick root of his cock, laid in a bed of curls a deeper gold than the shaven hair on his head. They're so out of place, spun wool so delicate on a man whose muzzle drips with stained saliva. He shuffles closer, swallowing a starved whine, and Father Simon chuckles. Embarrassment barely has the chance to stain his cheeks before he pulls his drawers lower, the heavy weight of his cock spilling free. Johnny's stomach swoops at the sight, his girth sending hunger to war with apprehension. How am I supposed to take that? He stares, never once doubting that he will. He swallows it down when the firelight glints off something silver on the head of his cock, almost hidden by his foreskin, and Johnny's eyes furrow. It isn't on his cock. It's in it. What is it? He breathes.
It's a holy item, used only by the most devout,
Father Simon explains, circling a finger around the head of his cock. Around the metal inside it.
It keeps me whole for whenever the ghostly god may have use of me.
Johnny's whole body flares, insides throbbing in confused want. It shouldn't surprise him that the father would give himself so wholly to the one who watches. He already granted him ownership of his face, his tongue. But to give another control of his cock, of his pleasure... Father Simon draws the skin back, hovering a finger over the delicate skull bead carved into the end of the rod, and Johnny's spent cock throbs as Father Simon's cock twitches up to meet the finger. He takes it in hand, fucking himself with one long, smooth stroke, and holds himself up at the hilt, showing off the distended bumps leading all the way down to the root of his cock. And Johnny wants to feel each one under his tongue. Father Simon takes his hand in his own, brings it to the skull. Using his fingers around his, he pinches it and slowly draws it free from his cock. And Johnny has to swallow thickly as the first round bead slips out, a drool of pre-cum leaking out around it.
Do you like it, Johnny?
He moans, as a second bead pops free, just to smoothly push them back inside his cock. If Johnny's mouth waters anymore, it's going to flow over his lips.
Doesn't it hurt?
Falls from his tongue with quiet reverence.
Only in the best way. It's a fullness you can scarcely imagine.
He promises, and Johnny's hand jolts beneath his. Father Simon snickers, his hand falling away.
Go on, lad. Play.
Johnny's eyes flit up to his, and Johnny freezes for a heartbeat when he remembers his bared face. He nods encouragingly down at him, and Johnny's tongue darts over his lips, carefully pulling the first bead free, the same way Father Simon showed him. He's so wet around it, glistening pre-cum dribbling out with every bead like the rod has him stoppered up, and the slight hitch in his breath when he twists it makes him feel powerful.
You would look gorgeous with one of your own, cock bright red and dripping, your whole hot and stretched around a rod. You'd be a greedy one, I bet. Already leaking like a wellspring.
Father Simon muses, eyes fixed on Johnny's cock, and Johnny flushes at his intensity even as he pictures it.
It moves throughout the day, fucking your cock with every step, and all you want is to give in to the pleasure.
Something heated swoops inside him. Throughout the day.
Oh, fuck.
All these years, Johnny's knelt before him to receive sacrament, his cock threatening to swell as a honey-covered thumb graced his lips. Father Simon's been left equally wanting. Is he hard the entire time? Or does he grow soft from the repetitive proceeding, only to stir when he rose, his hardening flesh swallowing the beads anew, fucking himself with none the wiser?
Johnny almost chokes as Father Simon's boot nudges his balls and he bows over it, hips jerking as he curves over them to press against his root. Father Simon lets out a low chuckle, his hand taking over from Johnny's to slowly withdraw the full length of the rod from his cock. I'd give you naught but an hour before you fell to your knees to beg him for respite. Johnny whimpers as the supple leather presses harder into him, smearing the dregs of his cum over his sensitive flesh, rubbing back and forth like he's imagining the resistance of the metal, imagining the same way Johnny is. Would he grant it? It's not really him he's asking about. Father Simon's smirk is dark, and he knows Johnny knows it, too. No. He can be cruel, even to his most loyal. The last bead pops out, and with it a slick rush of pre-cum clings to the metal, the strand breaking to dribble heavily on Johnny's thigh. And so am I. Johnny can't take his eyes off it, the shining metal held so tantalizingly close to his lips, pre-cum running down it to gather on that final bead. So much bigger than the others on the rod. How heavily did it sit inside him, anchoring deep in the root of his cock? Father Simon hovers it over his mouth, twisting it between his fingers, encouraging more of his slick to gather on the end of the rod. Will you know my taste? Will you accept his blessing? Johnny preemptively swallows, jaw twitching with the desire to open it wide and accept this sacrament. The same way he's accepted mead and honey pressed to his lips his entire waking life. He slowly opens his mouth, curling his tongue beneath it, and his eyes roll back as the salt-slicked rod glides over it. He closes his lips around it with a low moan, swallowing it down greedily. He sucks the skin-warmed metal, taking it deeper until the skull head, still clutched in Father Simon's fingers, meets his lips. Father Simon's eyes flare possessively as his cheeks hollow around it. Beautiful, he murmurs. Johnny whines as he draws it back. Soft pops sounding as his lips relinquish each bead and his tongue chases after it. Father Simon thumbs over his lower lip, spreading the slick wetness of spit and pre-cum. Johnny leans in to take it in his mouth, but he pulls away to swipe the mess over the swollen head of his cock. Nerves strike Johnny, an old, ever-present fear surging within him. Sickly cold threatens to snuff out the warmth spread throughout his body, and it almost sends him shrinking back on his heels.
Sweet thing.
Father Simon croons, and he blinks, almost flinching, breaking away to look up at his face.
What do you think I expect from you?
Johnny swallows, his cheeks burning in a humiliated flush, and struggles not to look away. Pleasure, he mumbles. Pleasure he's never given, never received. All but virginal to his own touch. How is he supposed to service someone who gives his pleasure to a god?
And do you think taking me to the root is the only way to give it?
He questions. And Johnny feels like a lad again, pushed to give answers he clearly didn't know. Is that not the point? He snaps. Father Simon cocks his head. Eyes narrowing in a way that stills him, his misguided temper smothered beneath its weight.
The point, he repeats, almost disparaging.
He tuts, shaking his head.
You have much to learn.
Father Simon takes a step back. He takes a step back and Johnny panics. He panics more than when he was named to die, more than when he was laced with rope and stripped like an animal before the butcher. Father Simon's abandoning him. He's pushed him too far, bit the guiding hand in fear of a strike, and now he's rightfully done with him. His hand darts up and clutches at Father Simon's pant leg, deaf but for the pounding of his heart. I apologize, Father, he rushes out,
dropping his eyes to the ground in supplication. He was a fool to believe them equal, blinded by arrogance to ever think he had the right to look upon his face. Unworthy, ungrateful child. I did not mean to disrespect. Don't leave me, please.
Hush,
Father Simon chides, still gentle in his rebuke. Gentler than Johnny deserves. Johnny flinches as a hand drops to his head, fingers smoothing back his hair. Then he presses into it like a starved dog, licking the fingers of his master for his blessed scraps. Father Simon takes another step back, and Johnny almost whines like the kicked mutt as well, as the hand falls away to retrieve a chalice from the altar. Father Simon cradles it between his hands and comes back to him to lower it to his mouth. Johnny sends him a questioning glance, but obediently sets his lips to the rim, desperate to redeem himself. He lets the deep red liquid pass through them and tastes the same berry wine used to cleanse him.
I do not deny that I've thought of it,
Father Simon says, and he almost chokes.
Watching myself sink between your lips, taking your throat in hand and feeling it bulge as you swallow me down. I know you would be so hot inside, Johnny. I could hollow you out like a cunt.
He tips the chalice back, and Johnny lets the last few drops spill down his chin so he can take a gasping breath, staining his skin red, matching the flush, darkening his chest at the vulgarity.
But only the crude rely on depth for pleasure,
he scoffs. He dips his fingers in the wine, circling the rim of the chalice before withdrawing his fingers. He watches the drops fall back into the chalice and has a new desire to slake his thirst. Father Simon sets the chalice aside, and Johnny's breath hitches as he draws a maroon line barely two knuckles deep on his cock.
Perhaps I'll show you one day,
he muses. And Johnny almost misses it over the echoing drum of his heartbeat, eyes locked on the droplet running down to catch on the engorged crown.
Such a dedicated lamb deserves to be taught to lick and caress and tease, to swallow. Would you like to learn how much a body can take?
Only if you're the one giving it to me, he silently pledges.
Father Simon follows the droplet's path, his thumb poised behind the crown, like he plans to feed it to Johnny. Johnny arcs up on his knees, opening his mouth wide to sink over his cock.
Ah,
he chides, tilting his hips back, bringing his cock out of reach. Johnny can't help his whine, brow drawing low in confusion and a damning hurt.
Slow. Taste first.
He shudders at the hungry rasp in Father Simon's voice and sticks out the full length of his tongue. Father Simon gives an approving hum, settling down the thick girth of his cock head, and it almost flinches back into his mouth at the unfamiliar weight. His tongue twitches as he drags it over, spreading his spit until it drips off the tip. That hypnotizing drop of wine following the ridge of his crown to join the mess.
Swallow,
he orders, lifting his cock to hover above him, and Johnny can't comply fast enough, eyes falling shut with the heavy bob of his throat. Johnny groans at the heady taste and presents his clean tongue, a silent beg for more.
Good lad.
Father Simon praises, resting his cock on it again, and this time doesn't stop him from closing his mouth around his cock head, drifting his thumb over his stretched lips before falling away.
It's nice.
It's not clean. The musk of a man after a long day thick on his tongue, and he almost skitters back when the first pure drop of salty pre-cum dribbles onto his tongue. But he likes it. Sure, he's tasting him more like this. Father Simon's cockhead barely halfway on his tongue than if he'd bullied his way into his throat. and nothing could stop him from moaning as his lips met the sticky line. Part of him wants to keep going, to swallow until he buries his nose in the thick thatch of spun gold at the base of Father Simon's cock. But his words echo in his mind, that near promise of future pleasure staying his head. If he's good, if he follows his words, he may be granted this again. For now, play. Johnny sucks as he draws his head back, letting his cock slip from his lips to mouth wetly along it, slurping around the thick girth of him, never daring to go past the tacky line.
Good boy,
Father Simon praises, dropping a hand to the back of his head, petting his hair. He never moves to rush him, his dark eyes indulgent as Johnny explores unfamiliar flesh, and he feels the same rush of power as before. Johnny's giving him this pleasure. He's the one making his cock twitch beneath his lips. He's the one vicariously sucking the prick of a god. Johnny swallows the gathered spit, and Father Simon's low groan as he takes his prick back into his mouth is a symphony, a gift from the heavens themselves going straight to his stiffened cock. He widens his knees, putting himself on display, and finally closes his hand around his cock, stripping it in time with his bobbing head. Play. Play. Slow. He runs his hand over his own chest, dragging through his hair still sticky from spilt wine, and thumbs over his nipple, clumsily trying to mimic the feel of Father Simon's touch.
That's it, Johnny,
Father Simon groans, his head lolling back to share his sounds freely with the walls of the church.
Learn yourself.
Johnny tongues along the slit, the barest tip of his tongue slipping into his swollen and stretched hole, and a thick growl of pleasure rumbles over his head. Father Simon fists the base of his cock, jerking himself off with short, harsh strokes, the sides of his fist occasionally butting against Johnny's nose. The raw need of it has his eyes roll back, and he moans thickly around him as he takes his pleasure, glutting himself on his cock, massaging the heavy sack the same way Father Simon had his.
Got the makings of a whore in you, boy,
he growls, hips stuttering in an aborted thrust as he lets out a whine at the dark approval.
Now I want you to swallow like one.
It's a warning as much as an order, and he quickly sucks in a deep breath before Father Simon's cock pulses on his tongue, bitter cum spilling out in thick ropes to fill his mouth, just as his own stains the stones, fucking his fist as he desperately humps the air, and doesn't stop. Johnny whimpers through his pleasure, almost gagging on the thick cum as his mouth slackens. He coughs a little just for more to stuff his throat, and he looks teary-eyed up at Father Simon for guidance, the complete loss of control somehow convincing a final drop to spill from his spent cock as he struggles to breathe.
Don't fight it,
he moans, fucking his cock in and out of his mouth, making Johnny all but drool come as he breaks the seal of his lips.
Make a mess for me, Johnny.
Johnny swallows what he can, eyes rolling as Father Simon overfills him and leaves the rest to spill down his chin and throat. I accept his generous blessing. Father Simon finally pulls free of his mouth, and Johnny gasps for breath, the last spurts of cum dribbling down his cheek. Father Simon lets out a low groan and grinds his cockhead into his cheekbone, dark eyes roving over his sodomized face. He rubs his cum into his lips and cheeks with his softening cock, smearing the sigils painted on Johnny's skin. Johnny looks fuzzily up at him, and he grits out a possessive noise, dropping to his knees to lick it from Johnny's skin.
Johnny moans with each pass of his tongue, pressing into it and chasing it every time it leaves his skin until it curls into his panting mouth. Blood and wine and cum mix, playing over their tongues as they twine together. Father Simon cups the back of his head, pressing their foreheads together as they share breath and swipes an errant smear from his jaw. A sudden bone-deep shiver racks him, and he pulls back to see the entire church has darkened, the fire in the sconces dying down to near embers. Shadows shimmer like moonlight on water, like something alive peeling down from the deepest corners of the ceiling to cover the vast windows. Yet all Johnny can see is the wonder and bliss on Father Simon's face as he stares up. "He is here," he breathes. Johnny shivers again and slowly drags his eyes up. He can't make out the ceiling anymore. The same writhing shadows painting the windows, eclipsing the beams and shingles. They ripple and distort, bowing like something's passing through them, and a great skull forms in the black depths, its lower jaw cleaved in two. Whispers drift from the dark, dozens of voices overlaying each other, speaking unfathomable words. He feels dizzy just from hearing them, so quiet, yet his ears ache from the roar. But he isn't afraid. How could he be when Father Simon looks so at peace? When the shadows blanketing the church make him feel so warm? Father Simon's soiled hand reaches for the ceiling, and Johnny unconsciously mirrors him. Spend slowly dribbling down their palms, and his breath stutters as shadows drip from its yawning maw and reach back. They brush over his fingertips. Tentative, gentle, as if waiting for a rebuttal, for fear. But he has none for them, and they coil around his fingers. They move down his palm, and he sees them do the same to Father Simon before they join their hands, tying them together, enveloping them both in a comforting warmth, like down left to heat in the sun. They retract just as slowly as they came, lingering over his skin. They weave through the air to be swallowed once again by the shadowed skull, its eyes flashing with a distant, unknowable light. Johnny will never be able to explain the tears prickling his eyes as it leaves them to sink back into the void, desperately stretching up to try and call it back. His head slowly falls, meeting Father Simon's gaze and looking for his matching tears. He knows he'll never have to try. Their hands drift down between them, still clasped together, and Johnny's breath catches at the sight of the sigils on his skin. The once vibrant red has deepened, sinking beneath his skin to set in the same near black as Father Simon's. Father Simon brushes his thumb over the marks, the soft drag now never threatening to mar the brand of ownership, and he realizes his spend is gone. Johnny twists their hands to try and catch the light, but it's true. Every drop of cum is gone from their skin. Even his cheeks feel dry, cleaned by more than the passes of Father Simon's tongue. Does this mean... He tries, but his voice fails him. Father Simon raises their hands to his mouth, pressing a gentle yet burning kiss against his knuckles.
"He has not abandoned us to this hell," he proclaims softly,
but it feels like it reverberates into the very foundations of the church. He laid with another man. He offered up his flesh to the many-eyed God, to Father Simon. And neither of them cast him away. A tear spills over his cheek, and Johnny lunges forward to catch him in a bruising kiss, clutching desperately at him, and feels Father Simon hold him just as tightly. His naked knees crush the sacrificial blossoms he picked from his hair, but he takes no notice of them. The flowers wilted, petals dried and left to dust at their feet. The crops continue to wilt. The townspeople don't understand, refuse to. They brought a virgin before the doors of the church, coated his skin in sacred sigils and innocent blood. They should have been absolved of their sin. They rage as the village falls deeper into the depths of famine, cursing Father Simon for his faulty sacrifice, and yet in the same breath, begging him to make another. But he denies them all. He has no need to, when the apple tree in the church's garden continues to flourish. Johnny rarely leaves their home in the upper reaches of the church, has no desire to walk among the people who offered his neck to the butcher's block. When he does, it's under the cover of night, when the shadows lift to guide his path, and the eyes in the dark are ever watchful. If he did cross the threshold of the church in broad daylight, if he revealed himself to those who left him to the cold, they would see a veil shielding his lower face, but they wouldn't see the glimmering silver rod buried deep inside his cock. The end. Author's notes. If you noticed Soap and Ghost exchanged lamb and wolf motifs, both equally the hunter and the consumed, then I love you. If I'm following my dump the backstory in the notes method of my glory hole fic, then vague essay warning, but... Pre-priesthood Simon was a butcher who didn't follow any faith. He was just as jaded and hateful and burned by religion as Johnny. No gods ever protected him or his family, ever stopped his father. So he turned his back on them all when he runs into Roba. After it all the torture and pain, he prays genuinely for the first time in his life, and the ghostly god hears him. He gives the ghostly god his body, and through him they kill Roba for taking what was never given. That's how he sees that true worship is through devotion and intimacy, freely given, not taken. So he wanders, the ghostly god a living presence in his mind, until he finds Johnny's village. They don't serve a single deity, instead choosing to worship many in hopes of winning all their favor. But instead, they spread their faith so thin that it doesn't reach any of them. Simon is disgusted by it, but he also sees an opportunity to spread the word of the many-eyed God, to channel their tenuous faith directly to him. Of course, it only half works. They only care about what they can get out of him, a reward for their faith, and it feels so much like the village he left that he can't help but hate them all. All except one, who brings him art made with his love and very soul and asks if he who watches would like it. Side note, Imagine Simon writhing in his bed, the ghostly god using the sounding rod to vibrate and shock his cock, not letting him come for hours as he screams for his god. And now Johnny gets the same honor. And yes, I flogged the prayer from the Boondock Saints. Otherwise, this would have sat in my notes forever because I couldn't think of an original prayer for the life of me. But I claim all the names used for Ghost. I love them so much. I need to write more God stuff. It's always so fun. I'm far from an expert when it comes to flower language, but if I'm right, daisies are meant to represent purity and innocence, and hyssop is associated with cleansing and sacrifice. Reader's notes. I knew I recognized that prayer from somewhere. I knew it. If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave a comment for either myself or for the author, you are more than welcome to. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the podficker, you can do so on the podfic post, which is probably wherever you found this podfic in the first place. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, you can do so on the text post, which will be linked from the podfic post. Thanks for listening!